Okay, the recorder is back on.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to go back into open session.
Make a motion to go in session.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, I think we're all back in. Mid-year financial review, Arlen.
Are you going to do committees first, or?
Do what?
Committees was up at one.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there's committees.
Committee.
I just jumped right over committee, excuse me, Arlen. And Mo's here too, so.
And Mo's here.
I'm sorry, I thought committees was down, I'm sorry. Committee business, sorry. Mo, go right ahead.
Honorable Mayor, Commissioners, staff. The Curry Beach Biped Pedestrian Committee 2023 Annual Report, I'm just bringing to you our draft, which we're working on right now. But I just wanted to touch base with what we have accomplished this past year, where we think we're going to head for next year. In late 2022, the Curry Beach Biped Pedestrian Committee developed a strategic plan to guide the committee's work for 2023. The following is a summary for the committee's accomplishments during 2023. Goal 1, Biped Master Plan. The committee reviewed the town's 2022 Biped Master Plan and developed a position paper identifying three priorities from that plan. A, update the mid-block crosswalks at Fort Fisher and K Avenue. B, extend the Island Greenway. And C, add bicycle intersection and route markings. The paper was presented to the town council in August 2023. Goal 2, funding. In 2023, the committee received several generous donations from Island Men, Island Women, Tony Silvani, Shore Break Bikes, Terry Benji Bicycling Foundation, WMPO, KB Baptist Church, and Carolina Beach Blue Liners, which helped keep costs low for our traffic garden, and we can anticipate similar this year. The Baptist Church has already contacted us saying they would like to raise the bar by also adding hot dogs to give away along with the popcorn and the snow cones they provided last year. We won't ask the Carolina Beach Blue Liner since it is a wash when we donate to their bike rodeo and then they donate the same amount back to us. So, but Shore Break Bikes has closed, so we won't be asking them for anything either. Food Lion also donated food and drinks for our 30-plus volunteers. And donations, including in-kind, were approximately $3,000. The state funding received through Michael Lee and Charlie Miller's office will go a long way toward our long-awaited crosswalks, and the COVID relief money will also put a big dent in our intersection at Fort Fisher and K. The committee continues to be on the lookout for grants through WMPO, AARP, and North Carolina Wildlife Federation, and more. To date, we have actually spent $3,137.70 of our $10,000 budget. We have a lot of work to complete this spring. Goal 3 is marketing. The committee participated in the town's summer and holiday market, sharing information about the committee, the town's bike pit master plan, and bicycle and pedestrian safety. In collaboration with Carolina Beach's bike pit committee, the committee designed maps that show safe bicycle routes through town. The maps will be distributed to local establishments in the coming months. The bike pit committee website is updated on a regular basis. In 2023, the website was updated 6 times. Updates included current biped happenings, announcements, and links for 2023 North Carolina Year of the Trail, Curry Beach and Carolina Beach Island Biped Map, Bike Safety Tips, Bike Walk NC, Curry Beach Traffic Garden, and the East Coast Greenway Feasibility Public Meeting Information. The biped webpage also includes frequently asked questions, strategic plan and position paper document, all of which help with transparency and communicating information for the Curry Beach residents and visitors. With funding from Island Women, the committee purchased 200 copies of Sam's Trip to the Beach an early intervention book to teach children about distracted driving. These books will be distributed at the Curry Beach Summer Markets and other town events. Goal 4, education. The committee sponsored its second traffic garden, a set of small-sized streets with scaled-down traffic features and urban elements, where children and other new learners practice using streets in a safe place that is free from motor vehicles. Unfortunately, the participation was not what was hoped, and thus the committee is looking at ways to increase participation in 2024, such as timing, location, and collaborating with Carolina Beach Elementary School, possibly. And I don't know if you all saw it, but on Wednesday, January 24th, the Star News ran an article, "With Traffic Growing, How Cyclists Handle Risky Roads." It was the front page colored picture of our Curry Beach traffic garden, which was pretty special to us. The committee had bike right, walk left signage installed at the spot lane connector. A committee member regularly attends Carolina Beach Bike Ped Committee meetings to garner ideas for collaboration, especially related to bike and pedestrian safety. The liaison that goes to their meetings is Steve Schumann, and he just wanted to let everybody know that on March 18th at their Carolina Beach Bike Ped Committee at 6 o'clock, their police department will be represented there because they will be discussing the use of e-bikes on the beach, which we had that conversation also. And Steve won't be in town, but he's hoping that someone from here could attend that meeting. Education for committee members was also a priority. 5 members of the committee attended the 2023 annual Bike Ped North Carolina Summit in Salisbury. It provided the participants with an opportunity to network with and learn from leaders across the state and nation on issues related to bicycle and pedestrian safety. Goal 5 is clean streets. The committee worked to make local streets like Dow Road, Fort Fisher Boulevard, local streets, free of sand and debris for safe walking and biking. Monthly contacts were made to Adrian Cox at NCDOT Division 3, requesting state roads be cleaned. Goal 6 is the spot lane connector beautification. In February 2023, committee members met with a neighbor who lives adjacent to the spot lane connector and determined a number of issues that need to be addressed prior to landscaping the area. A, routinely clearing the path of leaves and pine needles. B, dead trees and limbs adjacent to the path. C, grading of the area around the path. D, golf carts on the path due to insufficient fencing. To date, the town has replaced the fencing and removed some of the dead trees and limbs. So I hope that you see that this committee is working very hard to make Curry Beach a safer place to live, vacation, and work. And we hope that in consideration of budget, that you will just pretty much be with us in what we did last year. We would just like to continue this new coming. Do you have any questions?
I have a comment. I would like to suggest that you take back to your committee that not only e-bikes out on the sand and working with Carolina Beach, but just think through also working with Carolina Beach the rules for e-bikes on the island, not just out on the sand.
Okay.
I have just a comment. The traffic garden, I agree with you. The participation could have been a little bit better than what we got.
The first year we had fabulous participation.
I like
last year, that was April. Last year was May.
Yeah. But I like the idea of doing something maybe in conjunction with the Carolina Beach Elementary School. Because You know, you've got a captive audience there.
Exactly.
So I kind of like that idea.
Okay.
Of doing that. I mean, I don't know what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things with the traffic garden that can be improved. I mean, the actual setup and what we're doing, we just got to get the people here.
Right. That's what I said. Maybe doing it with Carolina Beach Elementary.
Maybe a different thing, but we got a lot of good help. The people that are coming and helping us with that have been a lifesaver, and we got a hardworking. It's a hardworking committee when it comes to that event. So I think we'll talk about some other things later on with our legislative stuff that relates back to it.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
My question: how hard is it to? I mean, can you control e-bikes on the streets? I mean, as they don't have to work.
E-bikes?
Yeah.
Well, there's no real legislation on it right now.
Yeah.
The state doesn't give us any real guidance on it. Right now, they're treated as bicycles. It's just regular bicycles.
Even if they can go over 35 miles an hour?
I'm sorry?
If they can go over 35 miles an hour, I thought they were.
Yeah, there's limitations on what they're considered bicycles. Yeah. CCs and so forth. But
well, some of these that the kids are riding are going more than 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, and absolutely. But the standard e-bike that we think of, there's no legislation that controls it.
They're exempted from the definition of motor vehicle.
They're not a motor vehicle, they're a vehicle. They're considered a vehicle, not a motor vehicle.
But we should be able to control what we allow on the beach when it comes to them on the beach, correct?
It's a state statute. I don't see why there's any prohibition against a code provision identifying an e-bike as a vehicle not allowed on the beach or even as a motor vehicle under some circumstances.
Okay.
I mean, we don't allow golf carts on the beach. So.
Now, there are I don't remember which towns, Brendan, perhaps you do, have already ordinances in place to prevent e-bikes on the beach. So I think we can...
Right,
we can, we can modify our ordinances and ban them, but I think as we've discussed before, trying to do something about e-bikes in general on the streets is not really feasible for the town to do at this point.
Not to the state, gives us something to work with, right?
And regarding speed and characterization of the e-bikes, as we've looked into it. Many e-bikes can easily be modified to go much faster than their specifications indicate.
And intent.
and so, again, that's something that is difficult to monitor and regulate. I mean, you guys do, I've seen you pull over the e-bikes. I've seen our officers pull over some e-bikes that have been... places they shouldn't be, doing things they shouldn't do.
We look forward to hearing what Carolina Beach is going to propose.
What was the date of that meeting again?
March 8th.
March 18th.
Oh, 18th.
March 18th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
March 18th, 6 p.m.
Yeah. All right, any other questions for committees or anything? Joe, you don't have anything to say, do you? You talk all the time anyway. All right, so I think we're ready to move forward with Arlen and our mid-year financial review.
So my thought with this, if you're agreeable, is there's a lot of information here, and I maybe approach it more if you have questions, and maybe I'll point out anything that I think is slightly out of the ordinary or you know needs to be highlighted, but won't necessarily touch on each item. So we'll start to go fund by fund. So through December 31st, the general fund is pretty much where we are, typically are every year. About 59% of revenue has come in and about 49% of our expenses to date. So for the revenue, again, there's nothing that's really out of line here where we should be at the halfway point. I will just mention that for property taxes since December 31st, we've got another $666,000. So we're at about 97% of our budget, which again is typically where we would be at that point in time. And then also TBA, you just The last council meeting approved about $532,000 of funding from that, and the mayor indicated at the meeting the other day those requests were approved. So we should be receiving that funding hopefully in the next couple weeks.
Arlen, how's sales tax holding up?
So far we're running a little bit ahead of last year, but everybody's talking now that we can't expect the growth that we have been. And actually some counties are seeing a decline slightly. There's things just the last 2 days about some counties are expecting not to meet their budget.
So what would cause it to drop? Is there rhyme or reason to it?
Sometimes the amount of refunds that have to be done for nonprofits and governments actually. And it could just be a slowing in consumer spending. But we definitely won't. Potentially we may be a little bit higher than last year, but it's going to be very close to. I think we'll be on budget, but it's going to be hard to project or forecast any type of significant increase for next year.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions on any of the other? This was just a breakdown of what was listed as the other category on the previous slide. Again, I don't think there's nothing here that's really out of the ordinary. Some revenue sources were running a little bit more than 50% for this point in year, but nothing that's really concerning, I guess, or needs any other comment. This just shows revenue in relation to the same time period last year. It does look like we're actually less revenue than we did the year before through December 31st, but that's because of that other financing category where last year we had $766,000 of financing. This year we had much less, so we're actually, for the normal revenue sources, we'd be actually running ahead of last year.
Okay.
And this is that other category from the previous slide, again, the comparing December 31st of this past 23 to 22. And again, nothing that really stands out there as any type of issue or concern. And this shows the five-year history of the major revenue sources. And you see, steady increase in property taxes related to just the increase in the tax base. And there were a couple tax increases throughout that time period. Sales tax, you see this, the upward trend that we've seen in the last few years. And then other financing at the end is, you see some wide fluctuation. It just depends on the amount of capital projects and capital purchases we have. Any questions on anything on general fund revenue?
Have we had any more conversation with recycling about what trends they're seeing or they're just?
And typically, if it goes like most years, at the very last minute before we adopt the budget, we're going to see a price increase. So if the trend goes like it's been every year for the last 5 years, we're going to expect a price increase.
Okay.
The recycling fee, if they were late on that, you can change that after the budget year. It's not like all the other stuff.
Right. Yeah, because that could actually change at any point in time.
I mean, you could change it monthly.
That's right.
And we have done that when necessary. So.
Okay.
I mean, the comparison to what it costs for, I still wish there was some way, and I know that's not really possible, but how much of that recycled pickup is actually going in the landfill? Because there's a good majority of our vacationers really not caring, and citizens, and then it goes into the, and it gets contaminated, and then that's going straight into the landfill. So it's just an expensive pickup for the ones that do recycle the correct way.
But unfortunately, what we're paying for is collection service.
I know.
We don't really know what happens to it after that.
After it hits the floor and the recycling, I know.
So then general fund expenses, nobody really looks out of line, through December 31st. Again, everybody's pretty much where they should be or maybe even slightly below, depending on the timing of certain projects that And this was, there was a category of other. This is what makes up that other category. Again, nothing here that seems out of the ordinary. And like with revenue, I'm just showing the expenses for December 23 versus December 22. The biggest fluctuation, fire department, and that was really because the purchase of a fire engine last year. And streets and sanitation, I guess, also where they had purchased a garbage truck. The other category on that previous slide, again, nothing really out of the ordinary. Paid parking, the expenses are up because they, you know, increased labor costs with, and we also had a had to replace a, I guess, the HVAC system in the their office area or whatever, added to some of the expenses this time. So, and this looks a little crazy, but that's the 5-year history of expenses. And really the significant changes, in particular in police, fire, streets, and sanitation, really relates to the amount of capital expenditures in a given year. Everything else is fairly even within finance and admin. We did have a change in how we allocate expenses between general fund and water and sewer fund, so that, that impacted this a little bit. Then I just wanted to show for the general fund what the fund balance was as of June 30th, 2023, June 30th for the past 5 years, and the amount of increase. So we have seen steady increase in our fund balance, which, you know, as we heard during the audit presentation, is important. You know, the state treasurer's office and LGC are looking much closer at you know, fund balance, and some of the ways it was looked at from years ago just aren't the way it's done anymore, and looking for much significant, much larger fund balances to be maintained. So we're in good shape there.
But if we'd have a major expenditure come out of fund balance, the state treasurer's office kind of frowns upon that, don't they?
Yeah, they may. They potentially could ask for, you know, comments on how it's going to be restored or you know, rebuilt. If they're looking at things like even when we balance, you know, how are we balancing our budget? Are we appropriating fund balance? I think we have enough to show that we are doing a good job at maintaining and increasing our fund balance and being, you know, staying at a good level in comparison to other towns our size. But yeah, if you start using fund balance, you usually have to explain, you know, what you're doing. So.
If you do it in advance of the expenditure, do they look at it any different than that?
No. Yeah, well, for the really big ones, Arlen has to write a letter requesting to do it sometimes, right?
Well, I shouldn't have to write a letter, but it it's more going to be after that audit is done, if they see that decrease, because then it's going to come up in the performance measures that they that are automatically generated. And,
right.
And then that's where it could lead to, well, council would have to provide a response to the LGC. So, but I think that would be the extreme. I think we're nowhere close to those types of situations.
Arlen,
a couple years ago, Carolina Beach had to do that, I believe.
Yeah, I think they did.
So you have steady increase in fund balance. Is there a maximum? At some point, do we continue to contribute? Do we continue to increase that balance? Or do we get to the point where we have a year's operating?
Well, I don't think we would never be like that. I mean, you always have to have a balanced budget every year. So the only, anything could happen in a given year, let's say, that could create a decrease in fund balance. For example, a storm, that we could have a year that we would have a decrease in our fund balance because of our expenditures, because it could take us a year, 2 years or more to get all of our reimbursements from FEMA. So there's cases where we could actually see a decrease, and I think a couple years ago, it's actually off of here, but I believe around 2017 or 18, we actually had a decrease in fund balance.
Now, I can understand we can have a decrease, okay, but we haven't really had a decrease in the last 4 years, right?
Right.
So if we go another 4 years, we'll be over 8 or 9 million?
Right.
So,
but I guess as our expenses increase, that also means that we should be maintaining a higher fund balance also.
You might want to go to slide 44. That's the one that shows the unrestricted, the minimum fund balance slide.
Right. Yeah,
and answer his question with that, because it'll show. I mean, I know that's jumping ahead, but
okay.
Your question is a good question. Here's the way I think is a good way to think about
maybe
it.
It's just because I don't understand how we keep increasing. I mean,
44.
Well, we have to have we have to have a balanced budget. So we need to forecast our budget, all our revenue sources,
mm-hmm.
and then also all the requests from every department, and ultimately have that balanced budget. If we have revenues in excess of what we thought they would be, I mean, and then some departments aren't always spending exactly 100%
mm-hmm.
of their budget. I mean, those are going to create those situations where the fund balance increases.
Right. Okay. So it's basically increased revenue or underspending that allows us to increase our
right.
fund balance.
And most years it's some of both.
It's some of both. Right. So it's just still the question.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be something as simple as our investments.
Yeah, I mean, there could be so many things that create that, like the sales tax, for example. Nobody's ever expected that to do what it's done over the last few years. And so even the recommendations for budgeting for that mm-hmm. the last couple of years have not been for the growth that we've actually seen.
Okay, so in other words, we never want to spend down our fund balance if we don't have to. So the question is, at some point...
We're not allowed to really spend down our fund balance to any degree without having to explain to the LGC why we're doing that.
Why we're doing it. Okay.
Which we don't want to do.
Correct.
So mm-hmm. I think I sort of disagree a little bit at a fine point. So the issue is this year, if the budget doesn't close, we go to slide 44 if you could for just a second. I don't know where, one more up maybe, or two more up.
This one,
right? So this one right here, there's a requirement from the state to have a certain amount of money
right.
based off the size of your budget, right? And so that number is much less than what we did. In 2012, if you go to the slide before or after, it says the council said we would make, there's one more, that one. The council said here's what we're going to do about finance. We're never going to go below 32%, right? Of total expenditure. So we would never let it go below. That's much higher than the state requires, but because the council at that time said that we have hurricanes and we could have potential issues that the federal and state government may help us, but it may take 2 years and we would want to get the town back together quicker, 32% was our goal. Since that time, because Arlen's leadership and the department head's good work and council's making reasonable budgets, we've moved up. So you can see we're well above that. Go back to now 44 or whichever way, Arlen. We're at 57%. So we're well above our target. If this year's budget process, everything that council wanted to support was more than what the property tax was being in, then we would have the conversation. Are we going to do a fund appropriation, or are we going to raise taxes? And that's when we would get into this discussion, right?
And that 32% that's actually the town's fund balance right. policy, we probably need to revisit that sometime in
okay.
the near future okay. because that number is probably too low based on the way.
But what's the state?
LGC
what is it?
Fund
is
balance.
It still 8%? What's LGC?
Well, that 8% was always a misnomer anyway, because it wasn't really what they consider. Everybody always said that, but...
Well, that's because I think that was the federal statute.
It was like 1 month they expected, but that was never really what the LGC looked at. Somehow that got out there as that was the minimum.
Well, that's because in the early 2000s, that's what the state legislature said it was, 8%. It was really a number. Because when I was doing the budget in 2000, 2001, that was written by the state legislature. We will come into your town and take over if you don't maintain this. Yeah, and so we just made it bigger than that.
If you were at 8% now, you'd be explaining what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if we were at 32%, we'd be explaining what we're doing to improve our fund balance. So.
Okay, so then we should figure out what the real number is.
So that's what I said. It may be time. I mean, it was a number of years
that's
ago
the way to think of
that we implemented
it.
That. Okay. And at that point in time, that was a good way to look at it. Even now, you can see we're in great shape because it's even just our unrestricted of, you know, almost 72% right now. But right. Even the unassigned, which is really, if we go back here, that kind of like bluish color, purple, whatever on the top section, that unassigned is what you could really use for, in essence, balancing your budget for emergencies, that type of thing. Because all the other money is either restricted in some way or you've already assigned for things like stormwater and beach protection.
Okay. So I guess that's basically what my question is. At what point can we use those funds, or could we use those funds if necessary?
Well, you could probably use some, if necessary, you could use it
to balance our budget.
Right, you could always do that. And we've actually, in essence, used some of those to balance our budget in the last couple of years.
Right.
It's just that when the year closed out, we had some higher revenues than expected, some lower expenses than expected, and we never actually had to use the fund balance.
One of the first questions I asked Arlen when I came to the council was, how much of our budget, how much we have to spend out of fund balance to balance? He said, we don't use fund balance to balance. And over the last few years, we've used a little bit because we do know that our revenues could be different and also that our department heads do such a good job that they don't spend 100% of their budgets. So it's kind of a nice, it's a nice ability to have. It keeps you from raising taxes sometimes. So.
Okay.
Want to try if we could use it for that budget balancing process, if, as long as it's not a significant amount.
Yeah,
and
so
that's going to get reported to the LGC.
Yeah.
So, the key thing is that we don't actually use it in the end, if possible.
Yeah.
Now you'll see some funds we do use it.
So Arlen, you can go up to like 5%. You know.
Well, that's something different.
Is that something different?
Yeah. That's actually if you want to build a contingency into the budget.
Okay.
It can be 5%, up to 5% of the expenses. We did that a couple years ago. We did it a number of years, actually. We've probably not done that in the past at least 3 years because we didn't have, in essence, excess revenue, I guess, to do that.
To do that, okay.
So there was no, in order to do that, we would have had to, there's no reason to forecast like an appropriation of fund balance to do that because you're just taking it all from the same place. And we didn't want to project like a property tax increase just to have a contingency. So that's why we haven't had that in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry to get you off your slide, Dan.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
Well, no, it's a good question.
From there, if that's
yep. I think you're right for the power bill.
So general fund, we're doing great with fund balance. Next is water and sewer. Also, we're kind of where we typically are for this point in time in regard to revenue and expenses. Expenses a lot of time are a little bit lower because you know some of the capital projects or other more significant maintenance, you know, that hasn't really kicked in yet at this point.
And so just on relation to this budget, the water and sewer systems in total are in pretty good shape. Historically, we've done good investments in our water and sewer systems. The audit will tell us if there's some specific weak issues in that. That's what we're working on now, so we talked about that earlier this morning. There are sewer lines in the south part of town that Jimmy continues to work with that we'll eventually be investing in the next few years. Whether the audit highlights it or not, those old terracotta pipes were put in really, I guess, in the late 60s, early 70s. And if you think about it, they're 50 years old, and that's about good for pipes, especially in our soil. So there's going to be some investments in the next 4 to 5 years in the sewer system south of K, south of N Avenue, actually, not K, of N Avenue.
And that's why we'll see in just a little bit when we get to that part that there we don't have as much flexibility in regard to, in essence, fund balance to use for projects.
And so we should never get, and this is not to slam on Carolina Beach, but it's just the one I'm more familiar with. You should never see us to have to do a huge bond, 5-year rolling bond issue that they've done for their sewer investments, because we shouldn't let it get there. And the way we do that is we continually invest in it as we go. So the newer neighborhoods were put in the 80s and 90s. The far south end of town was put in the 80s and 90s. It's really between N Avenue and E Avenue is where the sewer issues are for the next 5 or 10 years, unless there's a break or something, but it's not expected for length of life issues. That's where you'll see the investments.
So looking at water and sewer fund revenue through December 31st, we're where we should be. I always point out at this point in time, though, water and sewer, even though we're around that 50% of the budget, January, February, March are our lowest months or whatever for usage. So, we're going to have to, again, like usual, keep a close eye on whether we're going to have to do any kind of rate action when we get around to the actual budget process. This just shows the revenue in relation to the same period of time last year. And nothing really out of the ordinary. See that, like, investment earnings is definitely, this has been a much better year for interest rates up.
And 401ks.
Mm-hmm. This shows water and sewer revenue over the past 5 years. Interesting thing there is the green one, that was COVID, where we had more people here, I guess, than ever.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely shows up here. Also, for this past year, 2023, we had a transfer in from the, at the far right, transfer in from the American Rescue Plan Fund that we used for some of the capital projects that we did. Expenses, again, nothing out of the ordinary really here. Everybody where they should be for this point in time. Also, comparison to the prior year, the same period, things are very, very comparable for the same time frame last year. And same with expenses over the 5 years. You see some fluctuation in operations based on capital projects, basically. So this shows the increase in. For this fund, it's called net position, but it's basically the same as fund balance for the water and sewer fund. So you see smaller increases that we have in this fund, but the important thing is that they're increases. And to go along with what I mentioned a little while ago, what can we actually use out of this fund? Well, the blue section is all of our investment and capital assets, so basically it's not spendable. Can't not easily convert into cash. So we would only have the green section, which, again, that would be a significant problem if we started to use too much of that money. In fact, if we actually appropriated any money during our budget process for water and sewer, that would probably be highly scrutinized by the state. Because there's so many water and sewer systems right now throughout the state that are having significant problems.
Yep.
So that would be a red flag that we're starting to have a problem. Stormwater, where we should be, what looks a little strange, like both revenue and expenses, the percentage is the fact that included in the budget was the project behind Settlers, which has been, canceled at this point, basically. So that kind of skews, where we are in relation to the budget right now. In regards to revenue through June 30th, stormwater fees, basically where they should be. stormwater building fee, same thing. You see that appropriation of fund balance, that's what we were going to use to pay for that project. Of course, we won't use any of that based on a previous decision.
So Jimmy, once we get the three quotes, we will be coming to council for those three pipe relinings underneath Fifth Avenue North and Surf and Shell. So that was not in the budget, but we're having failures on that, so we do have to do it.
That's informal bidding, and Jimmy and I spoke, whatever one you all want to go with, I'll check it out contract-wise.
Yes, sir, thank you. Once we get the third quote.
So in the end, depending where that comes in, we could end up using some of that fund.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near that much money, yeah, but no, I mean, it will be a significant, it will come to council for that, just so council's aware.
And for this budget alone, it's not a problem, because when all this is reported to the state as part of our audit, a couple funds are combined into basically considered the general fund, but for our purposes, it's a couple different funds.
Yep.
This shows revenues December 23 versus December 22. Again, very comparable year to year. And 5-year history of revenues. You can definitely have the stormwater piece, even when we had the fee increases. And 1 year we went from like 870 to 10, and then after that went up to 15 the past 2 years. Building fees fluctuate based on building activity. You can see where we had some hurricane reimbursements back in the early part of the 5-year period. And a couple times in there, you see 19 and 20, where we actually use some of our fund balance. Mm-hmm. Stormwater expenses, and you see the big thing is, nothing spent on capital improved projects that we were planning. And this shows that the cap expenses in relation to 23 versus 22. Very comparable. And expenses over the 5-year period. Again, you see the fluctuations in capital projects. Also some in operations. Some of it, especially in 19 and 20, were because of hurricane repairs that had to be done, so higher amounts in operations. And then some 21 and 22, we had some times where we were short staff in that fund. So some of that was shown that we had lower expenses. So this is the change in the stormwater fund balance. Then you see the first 2 years in the time period where we actually used fund balance. But since then, we've steadily increased that balance. And our approach with, as you know, with stormwater has been to build up the fund balance and use it for capital projects and not go out and borrow money. So we're in a good position right now to fund some of the capital projects here that'll be coming up. So.
Yeah, later on in the budget process, not today, but the stormwater committee's talking about multiple stormwater projects as well as Jimmy's department, so we will look at that and put it in the budget this year.
And that's following along the recommendations from that plan in the north end of town.
Mm-hmm. So, and Arlen did confirm we do have money to finish the south part of town in the budget this year, so Jimmy will get that scheduled. Thank you for bringing it back up, Dennis. And then, so there's definitely 4th Avenue North that's got an issue that we're going to put in next year's budget, and then we'll do that relining this year for those three that I just talked about a few minutes ago. And then we'll look at the south part of town.
Any other questions on stormwater fund? We'll look at the PAL bill. Dennis is all restricted money. We'll receive from the state from DOT for street repairs and maintenance type things. We've pretty much received all the revenue we're going to get. We get two allocations during the course of the year. We actually got a little bit more than normal. After they actually approved the state budget, there was more that was appropriated for Powellville distribution to the state. So we got about $7,000 more than we normally get. So this just shows that in relation to the budget. So you see this significant part is the allocation. There's a little bit of interest. We don't, the fund balance is so low, there's not really much in investments right now in the capital fund. And this shows revenue over the five-year period. You see the allocation is always very comparable. And see that we did use a significant portion of the fund balance, especially in 2022, but some of it also last fiscal year too for KV projects.
And Arlen would have pointed this out probably, but the five-year plan that you saw Jimmy put up, it will use all this and we'll be using some general fund.
Oh, yeah, a lot of general
fund. Yeah. So the state doesn't give us enough money to redo our roads, right? You can fix potholes with the power fund, but you can't repave roads with it because it doesn't generate enough revenue.
And it's all based on that formula, like yep. How many street miles of roads that are the town roads population. I forget that there's another category
yep.
in there. But
mm-hmm.
unless there's some major change in the funding for Powellville, we're never going to get much more than
yeah.
that now. So.
That's right. No.
Powellville expenses for the last 5 years, again, the operating part or that kind of the maintenance on streets is usually comparatively comparable. The fluctuations are in the paving and depends on the needs for paving. And here, I just showed the fund balance in the Powellville fund. I didn't really show the increase. It's kind of obvious, I guess, the increase and decrease, but we significantly spend down that fund. And there's nothing wrong with that, I guess, doing that. It's there for one specific purpose, and we cannot use this money for anything we want. So we're very restricted on what we can use.
And we had to ask permission to let it get that big.
Yeah, I requested, there was a thing that if you got more than 10 allocations worth of funding that you hadn't spent, you would be penalized. So I sent in for an exception because they had a process for that. So we were approved to keep up to 20 allocations.
Right.
And we kind of built up to that point or close to it, and then had the major paving work that was done. So.
Right.
So we'll always have that out there. If we do, for some reason, start to build it up, we'll be able to go without penalty for like 20 allocations. So.
Yep.
The other two, what are considered governmental funds, are our beach protection fund and the federal asset forfeiture fund. So beach protection was set up a number of years ago at this point for anything beach related. And federal asset forfeiture fund is restricted funds for the police department that are the result, basically, of their participation in federal investigations, I guess, like FBI or Secret Service. And here I'll just put the change in fund balance, really. So we've done a great job in building up this beach protection fund. Even though the last 2 years, not as much of an increase because we, in particular in 23, we did not transfer any money from the general fund. It's just investment income. And this current year we're in now, it's the same thing. We didn't budget a transfer, and we actually are using some of that money to do the beach management plan.
And so just for kind, the rest of you guys may remember this or not, but this fund is not required. We made this fund, I believe, in 2014. I think it was back then. It was at a time when the federal and state governments were both jeopardizing renourishment projects, really challenging time. And at least two of our county commissioners had said, well, your guys are not doing anything for this, right? And so council at the time decided we would start a fund, put some money in there so that if it ever came up again that, hey, this is jeopardized, we would at least have something so that Curie Beach could say, this is what we're going to use for beach renourishment. At the same time, Arlen pointed out you don't want to be that restrictive. So it's called beach protection, but the fund can be used for more than just sand. So it can be used for anything on the beach, which Arlen was using for our beach management plan. So it's sort of locked in. In the future, you could change it, but what we try to do is always, you can see how some years we only put like $15,000 or $16,000 in it because it's a transfer in the budget. we do want to put something in there, but we shouldn't break our budgets doing it, just so if it ever comes up, we can say that we are doing something. So it's more a strategy fund than anything else. If that makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So then with the federal asset forfeiture fund, this has just been the fund balance over the last 5 years. You see some fluctuation. The last inflow of money was in 2022. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I guess Mike, Brandon, but we probably won't see any more funds coming in, or if it is, it'll be minimal or whatever. So at this point, it's kind of like a spending as necessary out of here. Right now, I guess after expenditures this year, it's a fund balance of about a little over 65,000 is what we are right now.
And this one kind of restricted. It can only be used by the police department for non-recurring or non-activities that the town's already funded. So it's very specific. And Arlen and the police chief deal with what that can be used for. But
yeah, it really comes down to the police chief's discretion on what to use it for.
Right.
It's not really something that council approves or not approves. It's really at the police chief's discretion.
Right.
And then there's a lot of reporting that goes with this every year, too, in regard to how the funds are used.
Right.
And where did the original funds come from?
Come from U.S. Treasury, I think, right, as a result of Secret Service?
It was Secret Service gambling cases back in the day, computer cases.
Secret Service or Marshall?
Secret Service. And we, back, you probably don't know, but we used to have an officer that worked for, he worked for the town of Curie Beach, but he was attached to the Secret Service Task Force, and that's where those phones came from.
Wow, okay.
Any other questions about asset forfeiture? The other fund we have is the Sewer Expansion Reserve Fund, or SERF. The main funding source is system development fees, which we're going to talk about those also in just a little bit. So this is pretty much where it should be. It's based on building activity, really, because the system development fee, the main funding, is based on construction. And this just shows that fund balance and that it has been increasing steadily, even though not significantly. The revenue sources for those funds are very limited. But it is a reserve fund with required council action to move funds out of here and into water and sewer to do capital projects.
Right.
And we have used some of it in the past for capital projects.
And so, correct me on this one, but I think the title is Expansion Reserve Fund. The purpose of this is, as you build out your town, if you need more sewer capacity, like expanding a plant or something, that's what it was initially intended for. They must have relaxed some of the rules over time, but this is where if we needed to buy excess, let's say Matsu said, you have to close our lagoon. And we had to buy more capacity in the regional plant at Carolina Beach.
Right.
This would be to buy the initial capacity potentially, or something like that.
Right. And we've also used it. I think the last time we used some was when the new lift station was built. We did
right.
finance most of that, but there was also used some money from here too.
But hopefully, we won't get there.
And maybe the bypass. I think we'll be.
Yeah, the bypass, because that allowed us to give more capacity. Because what it did is allow us to maximize the capacity of Carolina Beach. That was the justification.
Questions on that? Well, this we already covered. So, and some of this we've covered too. So this really goes on to the 5-year capital plans. What I've done it back in like October, November timeframe, asked each department head to provide their input on what they thought their capital needs were for the next 5 years. So some of these could have changed since then, and I know Jimmy pretty much has gone through his part of it. I'll let, if council wants to take a look, and any questions can be directed toward the appropriate department head, and I think Ed also covered a lot of his, and you know, I guess police head also when they went through it. So, and this is solely for the general fund.
Good.
So, anybody have any questions?
This has been updated by each department going forward?
Yeah, what I do is I usually put out a request in like I said, October, November time frame.
So this is from last year?
Well, this is from this past October, November. So okay. It's a couple months old, but you know, some of the estimates may not be for amounts, especially as things are increasing significantly. Like I think, like Jimmy and I talked earlier, like the amounts for paving, if we go with the schedule that was put out there, those amounts for especially like 26, 27, 28, 20, you know, all those are too low.
Right, yep. And this is basically just a plan. I mean, you got to put numbers in there, but right.
It doesn't. It's the best guess at that
point. Yes, the best guess at that point.
Okay.
The public works building, as we know, you know, that was on last year's plan, but again, that's a whole now separate fund or whatever, and they'll be reporting on that once we get what we know the actual project budget is going to be. We'll get some more information on that. Mm-hmm. And this is what I showed earlier, that if at those funding levels for paving, these were amounts that would have to come out of the general fund, that red, the column in red. Mm-hmm. So if those amounts are increased, the amounts that have to come out of the general are going to be greater than that. Mm-hmm. This, I think, Jimmy covered earlier, because mm-hmm. it's only public works that's included in the capital plan for water and sewer. But there's no other questions on that. This was the capital plan for stormwater. Again, you see the $600,000, which that project now is going to be performed. We put a placeholder in every year for just some miscellaneous things that may pop up. And then I think you've talked about now there's some additional things that will be done. So any questions anybody has on any of those capital plans? So next up, go through some projections that I did that'll just based on historical data, based on capital plans, anything that I could gather, what I think the three major funds will look like over the next 5 years. So I'll start with the general fund, and I put my assumptions there, and I look at, again, history in regard to revenue growth, expense increases. This first round for the general fund shows no property tax increase, no additions to headcount. They're probably the two major things. And then also about no contingency or beach protection fund transfer. So, you know, we look good for this current year we're in now. You know, the projection for next year is still positive, so that's a good thing. But after that, you see some increases or whatever based on current trends and no property tax increases. Mm-hmm. So what I did then was factor in a couple property acts, and probably too many at this point, but you've seen four different increases to basically keep us very close to break even. And that those increase, the amount of the increase is based on the current valuation. So that those would increase some too, but it still gives a ballpark, and again, just an estimate. But any of those things, as we go through the actual budget process, will determine whether, you know, any type of increase for any tax or fee will be, you know, need to be proposed. Does anybody have any questions?
When's the next revaluation?
Just online. So it should be in like a 1 or 2 years.
Yeah, they've shortened the cycle now. Is it 4 years now?
It's every 4 years.
Every 4 years. So we're set. We're halfway through.
Yeah, we're halfway through.
Okay.
So I did the same thing with water and sewer. So this assumes no rate increases except for the one that we actually put in for this current year that we're in right now, where we had the 20% rate tier increase. So it actually doesn't look bad for water and sewer, but there's just so many variables in water and sewer. You know, consumption could go down. Whatever the results are of some of the asset assessment and inventory that's done. So there's just a lot of things that could change this. The other thing I'll point out, though, that even that the green line across there does not even cover our depreciation expense. So we would be not even increasing our reserves at the same level that we're using up our capital assets. So what I did was just factor in only one increase, really. It shows 2024, but that's the one that I talked about, was already in this year's budget. So like a 10% rate tier increase in 27, and that keeps us close to at least keeping in step with our depreciation expense. But this fund has other strange things because the accounting for it is different. So we have to share in the expenses of like the local government pension plan with the state. So every year they're going to give us what our share of the expenses are. And that can fluctuate significantly. I mean, like $100,000 between two different years. So you can get some strange things here that also affect what we have available. Any questions on water and sewer? So what I thought I'd show here that I know we always find interesting is what do our rates look like in relation to everybody else in the county. So this is at four levels of UC, 2,500, 4,000, 10,000, and 15,000. And as planned, we are the lowest cost at the low usage levels, but the highest cost once we get up to about, probably at about 12,000 gallons, we would start to be the most, the highest rates, I guess. And I will say that Carolina Beach has been closing that gap because they have to do it because of their bond. They have built into their bond covenants that they have to do certain percentage increases every single year.
And so, Connie, I've been kind of the lead on how this strategy went. And so my thinking was we have a significant population of senior citizens that are retired, and this is their only home. And so the strategy was we're going to make the heavy users, which are these single-family rental units that put 30 people in, pay more for higher volumes of water. A few times citizens have came upset about that, early on especially, until the strategy was clarified. But I like this because it really shows two things. One, the heavy users are being penalized, which is part of what I like. And then the second thing is we're encouraging people to not overuse and waste water. And since we're on an aquifer, that's a smart thing to do. It's really nice to see Carolina Beach, even though they didn't do it on purpose, is closing with us on that. Because for the past, Alan can tell you, he was on the Water and Sewer Authority with me for a while. I've been beating on them about you guys should be not wasting water. And they should, the only way, in my opinion, you can get people to not waste water is charge them more for it. And so I'm glad to see that even if it's the bond reason, I'm glad at least their rates are going up. I'm still amazed Cape Fear Public Utility basically funds on the backs of a lot of poor people that don't use a lot of water. Their users that just waste it. In fact, I know one of their directors. I'm going to show this to one of their directors because I'm kind of disturbed by it. Riceville's the same way.
Yeah, Riceville does the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think they just do a surcharge on Cape Fear Public Utility because that's where they get a lot of their water from.
And Riceville Beach is unbelievable.
Yeah, they are.
2,500.
Yeah.
I mean, they buy it at some bulk rate or whatever, so I...
Yeah, but so that, well, that's why there's followed. They just have a surcharge for their system.
Right.
And then they're paying, that's why they're followed is Cape Fear Public Utilities, because that's what they're doing. So if Cape Fear Public Utility fixed itself, Riceville would fix itself too. I don't care, because they're pulling out of the river, whatever, but, so it's not messing up the aquifer that much, but I still think it's a bad policy. Okay.
Jimmy stepped out of the room, but you know, There's going to come a point where we're going to have a discussion about what are we going to do when that doomsday comes where we have an issue with our water supply.
Right.
So do we need to budget, begin to think about some type of a study to...
I mean, I think that's reasonable. I think Jimmy and I were talking about this last week when we were talking about this, and we were talking about, okay, what are the wells pumping in? Could you put reverse osmosis sites at each of the wells? And so three of the wells, we have enough land around it if Matsu would help us to put a package site there. It'd be expensive, I think, but if either saltwater intrusion or PFAS, which we just got our sample back with the attorney and it didn't show anything. I assume you saw that, Jim, if you're... He stepped out too, I guess.
Yeah, he just stepped out.
So the legal group that asked us to get samples, mm-hmm. we got samples and those came back and they don't show anything, right? But let's say it was saltwater intrusion into the aquifer. At low levels of chlorine, an RO site could be built at three of our four currently operating wells. I just don't, we don't know a cost amount for that yet, but we're talking about it. So we'll bring more in the next budget meeting to council about that for a future plan.
I'm not saying we need to do it.
No, but I think you should have a concept of a plan. So Carolina Beach's concept is they're going to join Cape Fear Public Utility. But they didn't ask us if we wanted to participate, right?
Well, they're talking about building a treatment plant, too.
Right.
Well, I thought that land that they bought on Lake Park, where they have their, I guess, the lifeguard stands there, that they said that eventually, if they had a problem, they were going to build something there, either reverse osmosis or something. I don't know what they were going to do. That's what
right.
they, that's what they said. I don't
right.
know.
I mean... So they've got two plans right now, sort of, and they're like the plan I have, kind of pie in the sky, not really fleshed out at all. Jimmy and I don't know how big the plants would have to be, but at least three of our wells, if we were an extremist and went to David Rouser and said we need an acre at these three places, 7th Street, down at the well by Ocean Dunes, and... by I Avenue, I think the federal government would say, okay, you can put your reverse osmosis plant. Then it's paying for it, mm-hmm. right? That's the issue, secondary issue. I don't know how expensive they are. Because our wells, you said 250 gallons a minute?
Some of them are, yeah.
A little more than
average,
that, maybe?
Average.
Yeah, so you probably need a 400 gallon per minute RO plant, and I don't know how expensive that is yet. We haven't got that far. We were looking... Would it fit somewhere, and then how would you do it? And that, I think, is the way we would do it.
Mm-hmm. We wouldn't rely on trying to tie in to Carolina Beach. If they built a reverse osmosis facility?
We might. I mean, if we get there, we would talk a bunch of different options. That would be a discussion.
I think we need to have that discussion.
Yeah.
You know, there is that small RO plant in Brunswick.
Yeah, I know. They just built one, H2GO, and they were $30 million, and I don't know how much it was, though. It's a lot more than the water we make, I think. So I think it's a lot bigger.
What did Cape Fear spend on its carbon system?
Yeah, I don't remember. Jim, I haven't looked all that up. Like I said, Jimmy and I were just sort of pie in the sky because I knew it was something we need to have.
We need to have some type of a long-range plan.
Right.
Okay.
And I think we need to also continue lobbying Cape Fear about moving their pipe down Carolina Beach Road, at least to the, as far as the bridge, in case we need to tie in.
I mean, that will probably upset a lot of people, Dennis, but to be honest with you, that may be our most viable, if we can't get the land from Matsu.
No, it may be.
If the cost of building the reverse osmosis plants are too expensive, or building a pipe to connect to theirs, that may be the best viable option. It may be the quickest viable option also.
So I just want to say, just in terms of as we explore mm-hmm. options, we ought to be looking at what do we have to push them, what can we?
But I mean, ideally is to get the users of the aquifer to not abuse it, and then we won't have this problem.
Right.
honestly. That's why I think that this I'm going to pass this back on like I did last year to Caroline Beach and say, nice job. I'm glad your bond forces you to do it.
But Brunswick County's drawing from the same aquifer also, and they're not busting at the seams. So, it's going to come back.
Yeah, I think it's something.
And we're going to have our backs against the wall. Yep. It might not be this council, but somebody, I'd hate to think that, well, I'd like to be able to say years down the road, they said that group in 2024 did the right thing. So.
Okay.
All right. Sorry, Arlen, we got off the topic a little bit.
So then the stormwater fund, I did the same type of projections. I mean, here, again, based on the current capital plan, you know, we steadily increase our balance. So I didn't even do another projection with like any rate increase. But again, I think our philosophy here has been very good of, you know, building the fund to actually then use basically cash to pay for capital projects. Mm-hmm. And I thought you might be interested in what the residential stormwater rates are throughout the county. So this just shows that information.
David, excuse me, Arlen. David, as far as stormwater goes, did we ever get everything squared away with the state? I mean,
they still have not sent back that we're okay with that plan.
That plan.
We've answered the mail, and we haven't heard for almost 2 years now.
Right. Yeah. They still have. Got an update that they are starting reviewing again. So,
if you look on their website, they have openings all throughout the state on stormwater workers. If you want to be a stormwater worker for the state of North Carolina, they've got plenty of openings. So they're just overwhelmed.
Okay.
First guess here at water is from a 200 to 1,000 gallons per minute, about $1 million to $3 million.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not terrible.
Per site.
Yeah, so you need four of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's not terrible.
No.
Because you'd build it, how much did you say for, just the number, whatever.
Well, it said between $1 million and $3 million.
Yeah, between $1 and $3 million for each of the wells we decided to do that with. And then there's ongoing operating costs. I'm sure that's not cheap. Okay.
Then I just put up here, based on our capital plan, what I think we will need to finance, this just shows our outstanding debt. Or projections for outstanding debt, so we see a steady decrease in that as long as we, unless something significant changes with that capital plan.
General funds, basically this building and Oceanfront Park?
The big part of general fund is this building. Oceanfront Park is, we're getting to the tail end of those payments, so it's really the fire engine, the garbage truck, definitely. This building by far. And part of this building is actually in the water and sewer fund, so since there's some of those operations that are the building and collection, all of that is out of this building also. So then, what I thought we could go through is what the proposed budget calendar would look like for this upcoming year. Tried to stick to exactly the same plan or same kind of timeline that we've done for the last almost 10 years probably, that seemed to work very well. It allows time if we need to have a third budget workshop, which we haven't needed for the last few years. But to just get some input on that, on whether those time frames look good to everybody.
I think Dennis and I have at least one to move. Can we move Friday, April 5th to earlier in that week, like the 2nd or 3rd? I know that shorts the department heads a few days, but...
No, that's fine. I was trying to stick with Fridays, but we can, whatever.
Well, I'm out of the country the 4th to the 15th, so that's why I'm asking to move it earlier.
Okay.
And then I know Dennis has got some travel sometime around the same time, so does that work for everyone if we move it to the Monday? Or Monday would be fine that week.
I leave to go out of the country on March 27th.
When do you come back?
April 22nd.
Okay.
Well, you forget you.
Well, you've missing two Aprils.
Yeah, I'll miss the April, the Friday, the April 19th. So if we could push that back to the Monday following and move the Friday, April 5th, up a couple of days to April 2nd or 3rd.
Yes. Right?
First, 2nd or 3rd.
You should leave on the 4th, David?
Yes. So I don't want to do it on the 3rd. The
2nd. You can do it on April Fool's Day.
That'd be perfect. I'm sure that the
Fool's Day. I have something on the 2nd.
That's right after Easter. I don't know if that matters.
Oh, if that's Easter weekend. Oh, yeah.
So does the 2nd work, Alan?
I have a commitment that I've already made. Town-wise.
Okay, what about the 3rd then?
3rd, I'm wide open the 3rd.
Okay. Does the 3rd work for... Obviously it doesn't work for John because he's gone March through...
Is it an all-day meeting or just half day?
How long does it normally take?
Typically the first one takes longer or whatever. I think in the past we've gone to what, maybe like 3? It depends on the questions.
Planning and zoning that night too.
We could do that. I mean, if nobody cares about the first, that's just it's the day after Easter.
I'm fine with that. It's up to the rest of the
council. I'm fine with it too.
We're here that day. I mean, it's.
I'm here that day.
Yeah, the first is fine with me too.
Okay.
And then Dennis, is that okay?
Yeah.
So then the 2nd was. April 19th, he asked that to move to the next week.
Yeah.
Before we leave the 1st, we're talking about starting at 9.
Yes, sir.
Yes. He'll revise this and send it out to everyone so you can put it on our calendars, right, Carl? Thank you. If you just send this one slide to all of us on email, I can fix my calendars.
Can we do the 19th on the 23rd or later?
Yes, I think we can.
Yeah.
Can you make the 19th?
I wouldn't want to go too much longer than that in case we need a 3rd meeting. That's all just to get, if you want to do that, would you say the 23rd?
Is 23rd late enough?
23rd is good for me.
Is that good?
Conflict on the 23rd. If everybody else is good, I can try to alter that conflict.
Nikki, is that marketing CDP?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, marketing has their big meeting that day. They use the council chambers.
Or they bring in the agency from Raleigh.
What about the 22nd?
22nd works for me.
You're not back yet, Rich.
I fly back in that day, so.
Yeah.
Or the 24th.
How about the
24th?
Does that work for the rest of council?
Yeah.
That's for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have something at night, but... I can get to it. I think 5 o'clock.
If we can make it work the way it has the last couple of years, that 2nd meeting.
It's only half day.
Half day, yeah.
Quick, unless something really unusual comes up. So.
Oh, I have the TDA work session, so yep. It's not a regular board meeting.
So it's April 1st for the first one and April 24th for the 2nd.
Yes.
Both at 9, correct?
No, yes, both at 9 a.m. Yes, sir.
You have TDA on Tuesday? Oh, 24th.
Yeah, 24th.
That's right, I have.
I'm sorry. In
the public
hearing.
That starts at
3. Well, that can still start.
He still got that on June the 10th.
Whatever time you need between the May 20th council meeting to advertise or whatever.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Normally they just make a motion to approve it. So I can schedule it when needed.
Right. So if that June 10th is good, you could kind of approve the public hearing date too.
Just make a motion to approve all 30 dates so I can schedule them.
I make a motion that we approve the amended budget calendar with April 1st versus April 5th and April 24th versus April 19th.
I have a motion to...
And the public hearing.
And the public hearing date.
That's on the calendar, okay, and the public hearing on June 10th per the calendar.
Okay, second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
While we're talking about dates, when Ms. Lindquist mentioned that bike ped meeting with the Carolina Beach people on March the 18th at 6, that's actually our town council meeting. So none of us are available to attend that meeting. So somebody from
they can report back to us, yeah.
We'll get somebody there.
Yeah, we can move the March meeting.
No, I don't think so. Okay. The system development fee, Arlen?
This is something that we were, I guess the state statutes were changed back in 2017, and we first calculated a system development fee in 2018. They need to be updated, reviewed and updated every 5 years. So we're definitely at that point. So I've gone through that process to throw that information on you.
There's a PowerPoint. Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
And I gave you there's a whole packet you have, I guess, to read through the whole thing. As long as you don't fall asleep reading through it. But it gives the some information about what system development fees are, how the what's required in the calculation, and how we did our calculation.
And it's still limited, right?
Yeah.
So this is one where the state legislature changed it. Connie, we used to charge like $5,000?
$2,500.
And then the state said you can't charge that much. And so I believe you set it at the maximum we could set it at.
Yeah. And once we go through here, it'll show that we can increase it slightly.
Right.
The one thing that I'm hoping for, right now it's based on all the historical, or in essence, like accounting costs. I've always been concerned that some of our historical cost information isn't
correct.
Exactly correct, because it was, back when all this was done, those records didn't really have to be maintained. There was a change in accounting rules a number of years ago where governments had to then value this. I have no clue how these values were determined that we have right now, what we've done in my time. What I'm hoping is when this asset inventory of assessment is done, that we may have some information on replacement cost.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, that's another methodology I can use. So we would update it. We don't have to wait for 5 years. We could do it sooner. I would then redo this whole thing based on replacement costs rather than historical costs.
Right.
Good. That sounds like a good plan.
Who pays this fee?
If you're an unincorporated lot and you're building on it, you have to pay this fee.
So it's a builder?
Well, the owner eventually pays it. That's correct. Okay. Yeah, so someone building on a new property has to pay this. That's to buy into the sewer system, basically. In addition to your tap fees, which are a separate fee, but that's to connect.
Correct.
But this is the, fixed cost, for instance, of the sewer system. And back in the day, many small towns, including Cree Beach, made them very high because if we ever had to expand, we would use it to build the SURF fund up with. That's why the SURF fund doesn't build very high anymore, because these fees go there.
It was determined back in 2017, I believe, that municipalities did not have statutory authority to charge what was called at that point impact fee, or there were a variety of names.
The developers lobbied and the legislature rolled, is what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, they sued too.
System development fees, but again, as David said, you're kind of limited to how you can calculate these.
Right.
Again, I think our hands are tied a little bit with the information we have. But anyway, so now it's the General Statute Chapter 162A, Article 8, that provides all the statutory regulations or requirements for the system development fees. There's a lot of things that the analysis has to show. I'm not going to read through every one of these, but what I documented in the packet that I gave you demonstrates that we follow all the requirements for doing the analysis. The thing that's a little bit different, and that I guess if you accept the analysis today, then Beth is going to post it on the town website because you have to have a 45-day comment period. So if we start that comment period today, 45 days will be up on the date of the next council, of the March council meeting. And then that same day could schedule a public hearing, which you have to have for this also before the first part of the council meeting. Then council could actually adopt the new system development fee in the actual council meeting. So we're kind of right in that time frame that we can make it all work in that timeline. Again, we're not talking about a significant increase, which I'll show you in just a minute, but it is, you know, a slight increase in what we're allowed to charge for system development fees. So
it's less than inflation.
Yeah.
So that's the timeline that I would recommend, I guess, if possible. This also is just saying that the method that I use for calculating, there's like three different methods that you can use. I use what's considered the buy-in method because it fits mm-hmm. kind of our scenario on how we operate. Mm-hmm. So this is what that calculates. We calculate separately for water and sewer. As you can see, the amount that would be charged in total on new construction, it's not significant.
No.
So, you know, whatever we include in the fee schedule, I'd probably, you know, just round down to an even like $635. And this shows the comparison to what it is right now. Right now, we charge the fee was calculated at $592.26. In our fee schedule, we have $592, so you see it's going to increase by basically $43. So, again, not a significant increase, but again, it's still limited funding that we have for that SERP fund.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to set up, we need a motion to
accept
move
the
schedule. I guess kind of like accept this analysis so then that Beth can put it on the website for comment and I guess schedule it.
And schedule a legislative hearing for March 18th at 6 p.m.
Make a motion we accept the provided information and schedule a public hearing for March 18th at 6 p.m.
So our meeting starts at 6. We're going to kick off with a public hearing or have it at 5?
You want to say at the meeting. How do you want us to say it, Beth?
At 6 p.m.
Huh?
At
6
p.m.
At 6 p.m. Okay. Okay. Right. I have a motion.
Second then.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All right.
Just out of curiosity, this only applies to building on an empty lot that
correct.
Currently isn't.
That's
right.
Correct.
So a tear down doesn't.
Tear down.
I don't think so, right? I'm pretty sure not. Because they've already bought in.
Going on system development, you guys only put it on new construction, right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's how I understand it.
So we did adjust, for the system. We did adjust at one point the stormwater builder fee based on if somebody's increasing the
that's right.
impervious area or whatever.
That's right. We have a square footage thing for stormwater, but not for sewer because you're already connected.
Right. In essence, you've already paid this.
That's right.
And there's no way of comparing us to other communities?
For example, if you look at Carolina Beaches, theirs is significantly higher than ours. I mean, significantly. But they... Again, I can only work with the records that we have, mm-hmm. and that's the problem. So that's why I'm hoping that if we can get something with, you know, replacement costs, you know, could change our numbers. But
how they justify theirs?
They got to be doing a simple. I mean, they maybe have their asset records. Maybe they started at a much higher level than we did. I'm not sure how anybody estimated. Because if I look in our records, you just see something that says like infrastructure. I don't even know what it relates to. And that's why that's another one of my limitations is like, is it water? Is it sewer? I don't know. I just say it's 50-50 because I have no other way to
Okay. All right. Anything else for us, Harlan?
That's it.
All right, guys, we're up against a break. Let's take another 15-minute break. Come back at quarter till 3, 2:45.
Nice, we'll be 15 minutes ahead. Nice job.
Yeah, 15, yeah.
15 minutes to spare. We just had cookie time.
Yeah. Okay, if y'all are ready, we'll get started again. I think we need to schedule a legislative hearing, Mr. Attorney.
Yes, sir.
On the,
I'll take that.
You got it? Okay.
Get up out of my seat. My statute in connection with the public works building project, the town has to adopt this verifiable percentage participation goals by historically underutilized businesses or hubs. The same statute requires a public hearing on the question of establishing those goals. For the sake of those people that are interested, the bidding is still going to, for that construction project, is still going to be awarded to the lowest responsive bidder. But in order to be considered responsive, the bid package will have a scorecard system for the contractors to document their use of businesses, and that if they have to get to a certain point total in order to be considered a bidder on public works project, that's how it works. But if y'all could fix a date for that on your February meeting, which is February 19th, is that
correct? Yes, sir.
And I would just put it on the regular agenda. It shouldn't take more than a minute or two.
Okay.
Make a motion we schedule a legislative hearing at the February meeting as the first item of business.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Not like so. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Joe Eats Park.
Yeah,
Nikki?
I'll start things off. Had a chance to review the information in the budget packet. The memo outlines how we've gotten to this point in time, and then the last two pages show the most recent version of the preliminary sketch plan for Joe Eats Park. Recreation staff believes that this is a good point in the process to seek feedback from MOTSU. We don't want to get too committed or bogged down in the details of design before knowing where they stand on the various elements of the project. And we think it'd also be beneficial to council when you guys critically analyze the plan to know what MOTSU would and would not allow to progress. Then, depending on feedback from MOTSU and council's own thoughts on the design, we could contract the mesh to do another round of revisions to the plan as needed. Additional revisions to the site plan have been quoted at around $5,000 per revision to the plan moving forward. So in next year's budget, we can include money for another round of revisions or two. I think it's important to note that if the town would like to pursue federal grants to assist with this future project, that it would require a minimum 25-year land lease on the property, and our current lease with MOTSU is only 5 years. That lease expires on 4/29/24, so we would also encourage council that when we're renewing our lease or submitting this for review to them, that we ask for an extension so that we would be applicable to apply for federal grants.
I think MOTSU said they weren't interested in long-term leases.
We have that proof.
Yeah.
We have that proof in other requests.
That's right.
I mean, but
yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
The last time we asked for that site specifically was in like 2000, and either 09 or early teens.
Yeah.
I
mean, they've told us that the conversations we've had with MOTSU about this process, as long as we don't expand our footprint, you know, that's a good thing. And then they're willing to look at anything we're willing to propose. They didn't give us anything to leave off the table or anything like that. So, I think we should say it, and you know, Nikki and Sean and I met with the individual groups of users, I guess, the leaders or the people, and you know, we were told that tennis could be reduced to 3 courts that would be adequate, and then
from
as soon as it from tennis players, and then you know what we heard today, not to. So I think the biggest problem we're going to have in this is what Matsu is going to say is the usage and what's too much usage on some of their property, and honestly, we may have some stormwater issues that will have to get resolved that may lead to the reduction of some of our impervious surface on the site, but none of that engineering.
Yeah, we shouldn't have any stormwater issues.
So, but we, to be fair to everybody, in case it come back, we let everybody know that could be, and that would be determined once they got into more of an engineering study of it. So,
will Matsu want more information on bathrooms? I mean, is there one thing here that will raise red flags with Matsu, or you really feel comfortable that this is sufficient information for them to give us feedback?
I think further down the road they would want to see engineered drawings, but I mean, this is just a concept right now. So,
okay.
I know we've requested for brick and mortar restrooms in the past and have been denied. I don't know how detailed the request was, if it was just a letter asking to build or if there was any drawings with that. So I'm not sure what will cause red flags for them or not. We're increasing the amount of paved surface over there, and I know that when we were requesting the approval for the disc golf tee pads, you know, that was an item of concern for them. And then adding like a building, like the pavilion storage, mm-hmm. and a restroom would be light. But yeah, until they actually, it goes up through their ranks, it's hard to say.
Okay.
So one of the things that we're hearing from Matsu right now, we had to do an environmental review for the sludge removal in that area. They're already telling the feasibility study folks there's going to be an environmental review. I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't come back and say, in this site, within the boundaries, we'll have to do some type of environmental review. Maybe not, since it's already established, but they did make us do an environmental review for the sludge for the removal. And I guess that, Jimmy, that was tied to the lease agreement too, wasn't it?
Yes.
So mm-hmm. that may just be their typical
standard thing
to do. But, you know, I'd like to see us at least move this on and get Matsu's take of it as it's presented. And then we can determine. And maybe, Nikki, you have a conversation with them if there are other changes to it. This doesn't tie us down to this exactly, but we're willing to take changes. I would love to give the tennis folks that additional court. We did do the due diligence of going out to the tennis community and their leadership, and they're the ones that requested that maybe we didn't need another but one more court. So,
I mean, was that the same ones they were talking about that have it scheduled for Rara? How are they scheduling that anyway?
It's all first come, first serve. And
yeah, also, there's no schedule at all.
You'll come by and no one, there is a court available.
Right.
Not everyone's going to be able to play at the same time every day.
That's right.
So there's no such thing as a standing reservation?
No. Yeah, I didn't think there was.
No, but
I didn't understand that. Okay.
There's a group.
It's all first come, first serve, but they've been playing at the same time every day, like every day of the week.
And they show up.
Yeah, they show up.
Well, right. 7:30 in the morning. I mean, they're out there early.
There's no such thing as reservations. If someone was on that court, they could not tell them to get on.
Right. Could we put up a a sign or a set of courtesy considerations for people waiting for court times or anything along those lines?
Sure.
I mean, I don't know how militant these people are about getting on or off the court. Is it an issue?
I mean, we're going to set, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that there are groups that play over there on a regular basis, and they're pretty consistent with when they get there. Whether that's keeping the other folks from playing, I can't answer that question.
Back at Base X, we used, particularly during the lunch hour, or the lunch 2 hours, a challenge ladder, mm-hmm. piece of whiteboard, mm-hmm. and you sign up as next, and then the winner gets to stay. The loser goes, and then you replace the loser. Right. If you win, you get to stay. That person leaves, or duel if it's doubles.
Right. The thing with that, there's groups that go out and play now, and they may do that within their own group, but we don't have the staff to go out there and manage something on that level as a department to, like, to every day commit someone to be out there. Or we don't have software currently that could allow people to sign up for things like that online.
Yeah. I think let's not solve the problem we're not worried about right now. Your request was to work with MOSU to see where they are, I think.
Submit this plan.
Yeah.
That's what you're ready to do, right?
Yeah. I mean, do you need consensus to do that, I guess, from staff? You got mine. Or from council?
I don't think so.
Do we need a motion? I don't know that we do.
I don't know if we do or not. I mean, this is the next step of the plan. We're not committing to build the project.
That's right.
We're just forwarding this information on to MOSU for their review.
And that be a motion. Consensus is fine.
Okay.
As we submit that, are we submitting that from our MOSU liaison, from the mayor, or from the recreation department staff?
You've been dealing directly with Megan, haven't you?
I do on occasion. I reached out to her when we started this process. So.
Is she the right person?
She's the right person. She is our liaison, and we need to get it to her because she's getting ready to go out on leave. So
I'll be happy to go with you.
I'm going to write it on letter.
Either meet over there or have her come over here.
Electronically.
I mean, I think she's expecting this to come from us. See what she'd like to do. She'd like to sit down. We'd be more than glad to sit down with her and have a meeting. Or she just says, send a letter from the town with electronic fine. We can do either way.
We'll be coming.
I mean, I have a feeling she's just going to say, send it. Yeah, and I'll be glad to sign any letter.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any more questions? I mean, guys, they've done a real good job of. Benash has done a good job on this and listened to our concerns and revamping of things, and it really, I think it's pretty neat. I think it looks pretty neat. So, all right, we're ready to move on. The next item on the agenda is our legislative goals, and one of the last conversations I had with Representative Miller, he did say that we had some limited funds in the short session, and that if we wanted to, if I wanted to send him something, I could. So I've been kind of working on this. I didn't want to get this consensus from y'all, and I will send a letter that I draft to him, or that he will be given, based on y'all's input and concerns. And department heads, I'll be reaching out to you within the next couple weeks. Some of you, I know what we need to request. Jimmy, your water and sewer infrastructure needs, if you have some of your bigger ticket item.
Right.
We've been telling them all along we're waiting on this asset inventory thing, but if we have something, whether some of the sewer lines, and we can state that these lines were installed, and if I can get some of the data of when the lines were installed and that type thing, then we can put that into the letter that it dates back to the early parts of town, the older parts of town. Right. The terracotta, we need to do this,
right.
And here's what our plans are. He's talking more infrastructure type needs. That should take care of water and sewer. So I'll work with you one day. We'll just get up and talk about it. Stormwater, Mandy and I have talked a little bit. You know, we've applied for the brick grant for more dune infiltration.
Yeah, that's exactly the one, right? And I would say it's DOT road stormwater, because that water comes off a state highway. And so, and it's water quality to the ocean. So those three things is what I put in there for him, because that hits the environmental people and Department of Transportation. Mm-hmm. So
and that infrastructure type stuff that they're talking about.
That's right.
Where what's killing us, I think, from when you go to the NC Byways meetings and they do these stories that so and so had a flooding issue and they show a street flooded. We don't see that. They're moving water from one place to the other.
Right.
We just want to keep this water out of the ocean or get it to where it's, you know, helping out.
Well, you settle it.
Yeah.
I mean, it still goes to the ocean, but you settle the first half inch of all the sludge.
Yeah. So we'll work on that for our legislative thing. I sent y'all a note about a resolution to restore bicycle and pedestrian funding. After I've sent that out, I've talked to a friend in the NCDOT that deals with these type of bicycle and pedestrian opportunities, and he said that he did not feel like this would come about in the short session. So I'm just going to kind of put this on the hold. I may bring this back to us at a upcoming council meeting, but we'll draft more likely will give us a resolution to support. I think it's critical that they know what we can do, that we have interest in that. But from what I've been told, and this is one of the higher ups in NCDOT, they've told me that they didn't even know that this request was going out. So I don't know. It might be a little preliminary, but I'll keep you updated on that. Ed, we had talked a little bit about some fire department requests. I know you sent me some stuff. Maybe you and I need to revisit that, whether it's some additional equipment to justify all the calls we get from everywhere from the boat launch back to, you know, the state park. Some of that stuff. Do you think you have something?
Like we said, there's nothing outside of our current and future needs that were identified in that 5-year capital plan that I could think of. However, we are working with New Hanover County on communication on the south side. So they're talking about putting up something on the Atlantic Towers building. Steve Zwally, our fire inspector, since the code update in 2018, since they have updated the museum, they have to add some specific communications things in that building. So he's working there. And then part of our plan with the communications is the Fort Fisher Aquarium. We have known communications issues within inside that building that we're going to work with them. So it's not necessarily any needs specifically from our department. However, it could be mixed with the state too. So
okay, all right. We'll talk more when I get ready to draft the letter. And police, we've already talked about the speed limit sign. So you think that's the And guys, I'm looking at doing some additional crosswalks, our next phase of crosswalks. If y'all have any ones that you would like to see us implement, this time we'll look at kind of a priority off of our master plan and then just ask for some of that discretionary funding. It won't have to go through the short session. Maybe he, Representative Miller and Senator Lee can just give us another round of discretionary funds to help us fill in the gaps in our plan. And they're also calling for, I'll get to this in just a minute. That would be the just a general DOT discretionary funds. Mandy and John and I were on a call, and Adrian, and we talked about the 2050. I got that right. We're going to do a 2050 plan for the WMPO. And I got another email yesterday from Abby wanting us to look at that a little bit more. So we got some things in that 2045, 2050 plan I've jumped one item ahead, but while we're on the topic of DOT and transportation, we're going to look at that. I'll send that out before anything is finalized, but things like the intersection at Fort Fisher and K, where we know we're going to be short on money, and there'll be some WMPO money available there. We need to keep that in the plan, and then some of the bicycle markings on Fort Fisher Boulevard that helps with residents knowing that bicycles or bike lane in interchanges are there. So we'll be coming back with that once we get more of that finalized. And then the final thing that I have, if y'all have any other items on this to send to our representative, please let me know, to send me an email, and I'll send a letter out when the draft is ready. And the final thing, y'all, a couple weeks ago, I attended a meeting kind of just being curious about the New Hanover County Endowment Fund. And this is the money that has been set aside from the sale of the hospital. It's operated completely, it's operated separately from the county commissioners. No county commissioners or anybody on the board is made up of an executive director, and they have a board of directors that have current, have preset terms and all that stuff. I learned a lot about it. I listened to them answer some questions and stuff about why projects were funded and what their criteria was. And when I looked at all the projects were funded, there was nothing on this end of the county that was funded at all. And part of the, if you go to their website, New Hanover County Endowment, you'll see that their goals have to do with health and social issues and welfare of the residents. And so they encourage people to have a conversation. Come have a conversation with them to find out what our projects we have or organizations may have that would fit into their funding cycle. So I sent them an email the next day and was invited down for a meeting. I had a good hour-long meeting with them, and we talked about a lot of things. They have a lot of interest. They understand that they have a job to try to disperse this money throughout the county equally. I told them about our plans for Joe Eats Park, and where they would not commit to a dollar amount, they were very encouraging to me to send an application in, and that they would help us partially with funding, and that they would also help us out with additional partners that they had cooperated with from the standpoint of when this endowment was started. That kind of opened the doors up to other groups that have the access to money that they feel like may be able to help us out. So without saying a dollar amount, I felt very encouraged from what I heard. If this is okay with everybody, I'd like to move forward with looking into the grant application. Once we get Matsu's response back and we're ready to go that way, it might be a good source of funding. They don't have an annual funding cycle. They're going to do a funding cycle quarterly. That's how much money they have to give away. They have tons of money. They have a lot of money to give away. And they would really like to do a project down here. So it was nice. And then we talked about a lot of different things. And lo and behold, I used to work with the executive directors aunt at the City of High Point, so I had that connection back with him, so we just kind of all felt good, and it was a nice conversation. So that being said, we'll come back with possibility of what would cost for Adrian to help us with the grant at that point when we get there. So all right, that's all the topics I had for us, legislative goals and some updates I had. Do we have any other topics y'all want to talk about?
do not.
We've talked about a lot today.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
So the New Hanover County Endowment, they're basically for the health and the welfare, well-being for the citizens. So we had originally thought that Sandman was going to be like a tranquil place for people to, you know, relax and, you know, whatever. Any possibility they would give us any funding for Sandman?
Yeah, I think we can make a case for that.
That's for people to, you know, chill out and, you know, have peace and quiet. Because remember, everybody wanted a green space where they could chill. So I would think that would be for you.
That might be a good, excellent point. If we decide to move forward with that in our budget meetings, then we can definitely apply for it. Because that's the type of thing that they're looking for.
They're looking for things looking like that, not necessarily, you know, active.
Well, they're looking for things that improve the lives of the citizens of the county. So, but, yeah, that's excellent. Yeah.
We'll have to give some more thought to that.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Okay. Who is going? Somebody going to do the council goals? Arlen, did you have that at the end of your presentation?
Yeah.
Carol, 59 to 60.
Can we just put them up there?
They're on slide 59 to 60.
Yeah, they were at the end of Arlen.
Yep.
Okay.
There you go.
It's not this one.
It's not this one.
It's the one on the agenda.
Yeah.
You can just pull it up on the PDF.
Bless you.
It's the last two slides.
There you go.
So, I don't know how many years ago, but we set goals for the town. Each year we look at those and see if we have any changes or anything. We could probably take A off that list since we've already anything we y'all would like to add? Do we want to look through these and bring these back to the budget meeting? If anybody has any.
I think B comes off there too, right? Because the land use plan.
Land use plan is complete. I think we need to say work smarter to maintain and improve our quality of life in Curry Beach. I haven't given it a whole lot of thought, but let's look at these goals and let's share them with each other, and then we'll come back and update them. I know we can remove a couple. To find the number two, you know, we're that's going to stay. Mandy, would you scroll on down, please?
I think it's reasonable to look at them and then readdress them at the next meeting.
So let's do that at our next budget meeting. If y'all have any changes, if you have any suggestions, let's share them amongst ourselves so we have some time to think about these things before the next meeting. Okay?
Okay.
I think we're to the point where we're ready to make that magic work. Is there anything else we need to bring before the group, Dennis, David?
I do not have anything else.
No, sir.
Connie, John, anything y'all want to add from today? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
In favor, say aye.
Aye. Excellent job, department heads.
Thank you all.
Good start to the year.